Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. 6:12 in a world of odd visuals, it looked like Sandberg was breaking into the studio. Cat burglar. Part-time producer. Hi, it's Friday.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Sandberg was like climbing the producer door trying to break into the studio. I was going to just open the door. Just come on in.
She's lowering the shade on there.
Yeah, what kind of shade system do we have that you have to wrestle with it like that? I mean, is this, when we go to the new building, are we going to have this issue?
I hope not.
You know why the shades are there.
Why are the shades?
I don't want to say it, but.
Are they Johnny B shades? No, I'm asking.
Allegedly.
Oh, and now.
So
I
that was a Brammeier shade.
I did it
correctly. Well, why don't we send it to Wisconsin? He's always there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Carman's in for Dave Ennett. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steve. Good morning. I did not realize there were actually shades there. I didn't even know that was an option.
Is this wool cap indoors part of your increased effort to look younger?
I'm getting a lot of compliments on this hat and criticism, too, but I'm going to focus on the positive. Steve, what do you think of the look?
I think you're too old to wear that inside.
It's kind of chilly out, and I feel warm. It makes me feel cuddly. It's giving me energy.
Hey, Steve. This is Mike reporting live
from
the shaded producer booth back here.
Yes.
There has not been any compliments. It's been all criticisms. He looks like Eminem. Looks like Eminem.
He looks like Eminem's uncle.
You know why? It's cold. It's chic. He's whack. Isn't it that Friends episode where Joey tried to
is he whack?
Dress
he,
young
he's
and he
the
said
one that
he's
looks
whack.
Like the cat burglar.
He does look like a cat burglar. Whack.
Don't you like to feel warmth on your head? Doesn't it just feel good?
Did you not wash your hair today or something?
Sometimes I'll take a shower at night and then put a skull cap on.
I'm like a once a week shampooer, Mary, but I did
once a week?
Really? He's also
you wash your hair once a week?
That's well, okay,
gross,
everybody
man.
Settle down. It was a little exaggeration. It's at least twice, maybe three times.
Oh. You're not supposed to wash it every day, actually.
Right.
Because it depletes your hair of natural oils.
Yeah, but guys need to.
Do women. Women have longer hair.
Why do we got
to
be
you're
different?
Not supposed to. But he's also wearing a black hoodie, which is aiding to the cat burglar look.
It's a great look.
Well, what is he in your gang? You were the one breaking into the studio.
Well, I was. The door between your big studio and our producer booth has a shade that is sometimes lowered, and somebody stole the little string that you would usually pull like a normal person.
Brammeier when he left.
Mike and I have to manually roll it up, which is very difficult.
It's insane.
It's a forearm workout.
Why just remove the shade?
Yeah, that's a thought. Yeah. I'm not, because it's the most idiotic shade ever, because we've got a giant pane of glass so you can see the producer sitting in there, and then the door has a giant pane of glass. If the shade is to seclude the room, it only secludes the view through the door.
You know what? I just remove shades in my condo.
Just take them off.
I can totally take those down.
Take it off.
There we go.
Send it to Johnny. It's 6:15. Before we do traffic, let's do the top six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel.
Solving
it's
the big
time
problems.
To get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get that shade.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Big fan of the show. I appreciate it. But if you want to know what we really worry about here, it's stuff like that. Why is there a shade on the door? Item number one, Trump's Twitter account was off the air for 11 minutes last night. A customer support worker on his last day of work deactivated the account because he thought it was funny. I couldn't be less concerned about this.
The reaction to this, though,
is it's nuclear.
On Twitter and Facebook,
people went bananas. Bananas.
Oh, shoot. My friend was tweeting for 11 minutes? The whole time. They took it down. It's down. Someone intercepted.
The internet. You know who needs a timeout? It's not the people who are criticizing you whether or not you washed your hair. The internet needs a timeout. Mm-hmm. We need to unplug the internet for more than 11 minutes. It's a technical thing. His Twitter account was off the air for 11 minutes. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people need to calm the heck down.
Have you seen that this morning, Steve?
Crazy.
The internet's lost its mind.
They're all in line at the Apple store now.
I will say this, though, about Twitter. You know, Steve, you know this, too. And anybody who's ever been told they don't have a job anymore, Usually you get walked right to the door. So I don't understand how.
That's how we do it here. Well, I don't, and that's how I've done it most places I've been fired.
Same here. And the thing is, you don't have time to go press any buttons. No. So I don't know how this happened. I mean, that's obviously.
Now, Bob, if you're going to stay through Friday, you aren't going to take the president's Twitter account off the air, are you?
No, sir.
Because
no.
We're having cake on Friday.
All right, Bob. Next. It's a terrible story. One man died. Two other people, including a 12-year-old boy, were injured in a shooting at a Starbucks in Uptown last night. What do we know?
What do we know is that it was a 12-year-old boy. Two other people shot. Police in the 19th District, that's off Lawrence and Broadway, are saying that it likely was a drug deal gone bad, and the two adult victims knew each other.
Wow. Well, this is my Starbucks, by the way.
You're there every day?
Almost every day.
That's it's a great Starbucks.
Ever an
issue?
It's
a great location.
Yeah, there's some issues there in the bathroom. There's some drug stuff that happens there. They've been closing it and locking the bathroom recently.
Do you usually lately, though, Steve, don't you notice you need the code to get into the bathrooms at the Starbucks?
Yeah, I mean, it depends which one you go to.
What's the cross streets for the Starbucks?
Lawrence and Broadway. Yeah.
Oh, that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, it's kitty corner from the Green Mill. And.
Mm-hmm.
The 12-year-old was just in the wrong place at the
wrong time. Right, wrong place, wrong time. One of the adults who was there was two adults, one dead, one injured. I believe the 12-year-old is related to one of those.
And this is a gang thing?
Yeah, that's what police are saying in the 19th District. It was a drug deal gone bad.
In a Starbucks?
Inside the Starbucks, yeah. I mean, how scary, too. The call came out shooting at a Starbucks.
I have nothing
which we've all been
added to the story.
No, it's awful. The 12-year-old boy expected to be okay, but critical condition.
Next. President Trump announced Jerome Powell as the new Fed chair. The Federal Reserve, as you know, controls the interest rates and the interest rates on loans, the interest rates on all things money. Steve talked a lot about this. Do you like the pick?
It is a good pick. He sort of has the same policy ideas as Janet Yellen. The buzz this morning is, why doesn't he have a PhD?
A lot of people ask that about me.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a question going forward. But there's a lot of people that work in monetary policy, not just him. So it won't be that he'll be making singular decisions. So
next. This is a big problem for the president. President Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions now have a lineup of people who are saying, oh, yeah, no, there was talk about Russia. Mm-hmm. No, there absolutely was. A brand new advisor has stepped forward and said, I was in the meeting where Trump and Sessions overheard George Papadopoulos talking about hooking up the president and Vladimir Putin.
How about the picture of Papadopoulos sitting two seats away from Jeff Sessions?
Yeah, but he was minor. He was a mailroom guy.
Right.
I have a question. Do you think that these aides now being honest and forthcoming, coming forward, have to do with this indictment? Now they know that Mueller is serious and he may be onto them?
I think he just got to them.
Yeah.
I think it's just a timing thing, right? You know, you just go through the list, you eventually get to people.
Did you hear the Carter Page story, too, from CNN?
That guy's a loon, man.
Carter Page saying
that's
that,
an official opinion from me.
Right.
He's a loon.
He was.
He's got nice teeth, though. You know how white his teeth were?
I didn't really pay attention
to
that.
Yeah, got nice teeth whiteness,
He testified for 6 hours yesterday, and CNN reporting that he told Sessions in 2016 about he was taking a trip to Russia.
Yeah.
In July.
And Jeff Sessions slash Barney Fife just went,
that Russia?
Oh, right. Oh, the other Russia.
So Sessions and Trump both have some explaining to do. The documents also mention a man named Sam Clovis, a former Trump campaign aide who is in the running for a senior position in the Department of Agriculture, until they realized that he would have to go through a confirmation hearing. Mm-hmm. And in that hearing, the Democrats would ask about what sort of BS he was involved with. This guy used to be on the radio in Iowa, and he was up against the senator that won. Who's the female senator from Iowa?
Joni Ernst.
Joni Ernst beat him in Iowa, and instead of getting further deep into running for another office, he became a campaign advisor to one of the 17 Republicans. Mm-hmm. I think it was Rick Perry, and eventually got into to Trump's inner circle. But he now is one of the focuses as well, as he steps aside so as not to answer more probing questions.
He looks like Wilford Brimley, doesn't he?
He does kind of, yeah. Yeah. Next. We wish everybody well at DNA Info. If you know anybody at the Gothamist in New York or Los Angeles, around the country, DNA Info and Gothamist sites have been shut down. Union officials told the employees at these places that this is just Joe Ricketts shooting off from his mouth, just saying that if you guys unionize, I'll shut it down. They unionized, he shut it down. Yeah. Listen, it's in the world of web and any media business whatsoever, your jobs are probably never more tenuous. Mm-hmm. So you need to be a little careful, yeah. And these folks weren't.
I have a couple of people, a couple of friends who worked there. And
didn't you work there for a while?
I did not, no, but I have some.
Where did you work before here?
WBBM.
No, I know about BBM, but didn't you have some sandwich job in between? I've heard of BBM.
I delivered sandwiches at Rivet Radio. Yeah, I did.
Rivet Radio. Rivet, that was, yeah. Is that the place still in business?
It is, yeah. Okay. It is. But they told me that this thing happened yesterday. It was literally 1 minute they had a job, the next minute they didn't. And the whole website's gone. There's nothing, you know, you can't even go and find
bad it. Bad union direction. And I'm a union member.
I am too. SAG
after. Set your clocks back this weekend. So if you set your clocks back, you lose half an hour and you gain 15 minutes and then you carry the two.
There you go.
Isn't that right?
Something like
spring forward, fall back. Fall back, do you save an hour of sleep or you lose an hour of sleep?
You get an hour.
You get an hour of sleep?
Gain an hour of
sleep. It's all nonsense. It's 6:22 and this is all brought to you by American Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. You want to be Lou's first caller? Is Lou back with us today? Yes? You want to be Lou's first caller? Number to call is 312-981-7200. We'll get to him next.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Lou Manfredini joins us from Channel 9. I think we need to switch up your theme. First off, you have the longest introduction of anybody on this show, including
me. Right,
we
never have enough time.
But John DeCoste did a great theme song for you
okay.
a long time ago that we barely ever play.
Well, that's not my fault.
Well, let's mix that up.
I like
let's
it.
Let's mix that up.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dave.
I mean, you play the My Buckthorn is Exploding thing all the time.
No, it's Dave. That's Dave. He asked the same question over and over again. How was your trip, by the way?
It was fantastic.
Where'd you go? Italy or something?
No, Spain.
Yeah, so Spain
with
is where you went?
With a bunch of lovely, wonderful WGN listeners.
Oh, that's right. That's one of those scam trips you were on.
One of those scam trips was really a lot of fun. Spain is beautiful. The countryside is absolutely gorgeous.
You didn't have anything to do with the vote, did you?
I had nothing to do with it. Okay. We were in southern Spain the whole time. Ah. So the vast majority of the group did not go to Barcelona, although some did at the tail end. And here's my little history lesson for you about Spain.
Mm-hmm.
We went to this lovely town called Toledo, Spain.
Beautiful. Toledo. It's called Toledo.
Toledo.
Oh, sorry.
It's pronounced Toledo. But it's spelled exactly like Toledo. Okay, so sure. You would say Toledo. Beautiful city in...
Do they have a baseball team, the Toledo Mudheads?
Right. Well, it's disbanded. But anyway, it has a whole beautiful town, 100 churches in this tiny little city, and other houses of worship. It's where the term Holy Toledo comes from.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that funny?
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
You have a question, Mark, as a follow-up?
Well, I just want to tell Lou that I once was staying in hostels in Spain, and they had the toilet was like up on the wall.
Right?
And
what do you mean up on the wall?
You have to yank the chain, and the water comes flowing down.
Yeah, that's
down.
A European thing.
Right. Well, I yanked the chain, and the whole toilet came down, water all over the floor. My situation was still sitting in the toilet.
Did you run?
I opened the door really quietly, looked in the lobby, see if anybody noticed, and I proceeded to check out of the hostel. And I was leaving that day, and some rando guy came in there, and they blamed it on him. And I'd like to apologize to Spain, Lou, you.
Oh, okay.
And
you'd like me to direct that to the people of Spain?
Well, you were there last.
Right.
So, by the way, because...
I didn't know Mark Carmen then, but I'd like to apologize for him.
Thank you.
Because Mark Carmen is in the studio this morning wearing a wool hat indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Here's today's text question of the day. What am I too old for? What am I too old for? You know my theory on this.
Yeah.
You're too old to wear a backpack. You're too old to wear a hat backwards. You're too old to wear a wool hat indoors at a certain age.
And don't you say a baseball jersey, too, if you're not at the game?
If you're not on the team.
How about a tank top jersey?
Oh, God.
No,
Right.
Okay, so here's what we need. We need the sex and the age, right?
Right.
So if you're a female, you're too old for this. If you're male, you're too old for that, and at what age? And I know the majority of these are going to be men, but that's fine.
I saw a lady yesterday when I was in New York, and she was in quite the outfit, and I was like, you're a little too old for that.
Right.
Yeah.
That always goes over well when you judge other women.
I didn't say anything, yeah. But it was quite a look.
Dave's in Valpo. Good morning, Dave. What's your question for Lou? Excellent, Dave. Are you with me, Dave? All right, Dave apparently is going with semaphore. If Dave were on the phone at this time, his question would have been how he fall preps his lawn.
Oh, I'm talking about that on television this morning.
Okay.
It's still kind of the prime time for all that. The temperature of your soil is starting to cool down a little bit. As the leaves fall, you want to rake them up. I don't want you to mulch them all up like crazy because you'll choke the lawn. But rake up as much as you can and then give it one last cutting. And you can go ahead and mulch all that into the soil. And then use a winterizing fertilizer. And the whole idea behind that is it's a slow release that's going to really not do anything now, but it's going to start to release nutrients over the winter months slowly. And then as spring comes, it's going to feed the roots and help your lawn come back. The other big thing that no one really does is you can buy these fertilizing spikes. And in particular, if you have evergreens that, you know, most of the time, if you have evergreens around your home, you're like, oh, these things look good. They're amazing. They're hardy. They're great. They still need a little bit of fertilizer. And these spikes, you can go and use a little hammer and right at the root ball, put a couple of them on, one on each side, and they will slow release and help to nourish those plants. They'll look fantastic in the spring.
All right. Here's a couple of textures. I'm a 28-year-old man. I'm too old to enjoy playing Dungeons and Dragons with my friends, but it doesn't stop me.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
I'm a 68-year-old man. I'm too old for a Speedo.
Well, unless you're from Germany.
I'm a 41-year-old woman. I'm too old for short shorts. Well, I think that depends how you feel about how you look in short shorts.
Disagree.
From the man with the wool cap.
And let me just start with the wool cap indoors. The wool cap indoors.
Is it a wool cap that's not cuffed? Is it straight?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wool cap indoors, you're too old for a wool cap indoors if you are 30 years old. 30 is the number. Mm-hmm. 29, high end. 30, got to be over.
So comfy.
What about the men in the flip-flops?
Men in flip-flops, unless you're on a beach or at a hotel somewhere. Did I ever tell you that I'm defective?
What do you mean?
I can't wear flip-flops.
A lot of men can't.
No, flip-flops. I don't know how to wear flip-flops. I don't know how to wear it. They don't stay on my feet. Matter of fact, I was in Mexico, killed a guy. Flip-flop, flopped off, flew through the air, killed a guy.
You need a specialized flip-flop, like an Olakai.
My husband can't
wear
it
either. Have you tried the...
Not to wear flip-flops?
I need shoes. Have you tried the Crocs flip-flop?
Oh, God, please don't wear Crocs.
I got to tell you.
No, but the flip-flops.
No, I got to tell you. Not the flip-flops, but I got to tell you. The Crocs that are like sandals, the shoe things. Not sandals. They're like
yeah. They're like clogs. Slippers.
They're like clogs. Yeah, exactly.
Well, like yeah. When are you too old
like,
for those?
Like these canvas slip-on deals.
I don't think clogs. Yeah.
No, but I
got to
tell you, they're super comfortable.
But they make your feet stink.
A lot of doctors and nurses wear those.
I didn't know that.
I think if you're Mario Battaglia, you can pull that off. But
what if you're Mario Tricussi?
Yeah.
How about just Mario?
Or a flying Mario?
Our friend that just called in that we couldn't get on the air wins an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing him to adjust the temperature of his home's air on his smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
How old are you? Are too old when the phone system doesn't work? How old do you have to be?
Apparently 56. more historical facts from Lou. Next Friday, he'll tell us what town Jiminy Crickets came from.
That's so right, I will. Absolutely, with a wool cap.
Have fun on TV. See you tomorrow on the radio. American Weathermakers brings you Lou's First Call. We're back with a big story next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
My cat poops outside the box. My dog just ate 20 rocks. My goat sounds so silly. Call him Bill, but never Billy. I need someone who knows what to do. Someone to call who can answer it all on the Steve Cochran Show with answers I really need.
Who's it gonna be?
If you're looking when it's time to have your pets vaccinated, you can also find the best time to spay or have your male just castrated. I found a doctor. He's a vet. You can bet it's a must. You can trust what he says. With all his info, the Indian Prairie Hospital out in Aurora, Dr. Sam.
How good is that? I mean, we can't book Dr. Sam very often because, you know, it frightens the listeners.
Uh-huh.
But the song, the theme song, we can play that every day.
It's great. I didn't even ask why he had a goat.
Dr. Sam Ristich, Indian Prairie Animal Hospital, my good friend and member of the Grandfather's Club. How is the little tyke?
The little tyke is doing great. Little Carson.
And Carson's how old now?
He is 7 months tomorrow.
Is he driving?
He's driving. He's a little slow on surgery, though. I'm a little disappointed with his surgical skills. I bring him in on Fridays. He scrubs in.
Yeah, you prop him up.
Prop him up, yeah. Get the little mask on him, the little booties. I got him little Crocs, little surgery Crocs.
Oh, fantastic. You're listening.
Hey,
all
do
right.
You think I'm too old to play an air guitar to my theme song when
yes.
I was on hold?
Yes. Okay. The answer is yes. I will give you a few of these. The listeners have called in and texted in. These are pretty good. 78, too old to stand in line at the stupid Apple store. What is going on at the Apple store today?
The iPhone 10.
Oh, that's it.
Comes out today. The one with the facial recognition.
Yeah, that's good. let's see. 39-year-old woman. I enjoy coloring. I don't care what you think. There's nothing wrong with coloring. Adult
no.
coloring's hot now.
It is. It's trendy.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Brian, 34, according to my 3.5-year-old son, I'm too old for every damn thing. Okay, well, there you go. It's tough when you got a judgmental 3.5-year-old in the house. By the way, how many months are you? I figured this out the other day. Abigail's 22 months. Did you know I'm 676 and a half months?
Wow.
Yeah.
You're older than me.
No, that's not true, and it's never going to be true. All right, so what's on the agenda here? What are we going to talk about after Mary does her traffic here in just a second?
Whatever you want to talk about.
Let's talk about doggies and kitties and what else?
Well, ferrets and bears and goats and everything you want to talk about. Cockroaches. Let's talk about cockroaches.
No, I don't like that. It creeps me out. So the number to call or text is 312-981-7200. Sam can't fix your pet over the phone, but can give you some guidance and tell you what you might want to do. All right, so if you have general animal critter questions, this is the time to call. And then he'll delight us and thrill us before this call is over with some really uncomfortable, awkward story that's in the vet news this week. So stand by for all of that. We'll come back with that. Are you learning anything, Mark, so far from the program today?
Lots, Steve. Always. Okay. Always. Thank you. Hundreds of trees ready to take home. Even hard to find 9 to 12 foot trees. These are premium trees with the highest quality and value. Find lights, ornaments, outdoor decor, and much more. Find your perfect Christmas tree and decor with lowest prices guaranteed at American Sale, 9 Chicagoland locations, or visit AmericanSale.com. American Sale, bring the fun home.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dr. Sam Ristich standing by from the Indian Prairie Animal Hospital.
You know, I was been dealing this week. I was surprised how many people forgot the poop samples.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, I'll bring it back later. I put it in a refrigerator.
Gross.
I heard that 3 or 4 times this week.
Oh, you got to get rid of those people.
Mm-hmm. Never put your pet's poop in a refrigerator. Bad idea, Steve.
These are
I think
things.
I'd like to leave the show with that thought.
And now you know, these are the things you can learn from this show. Well, let's go to Dr. Sam and get some critter questions answered. And, Doc, you know, the biggest question I'll have for you and the one that stresses you out most is for you to give us your contact information.
Oh, boy.
Your website, your phone number, so be ready for that.
Okay.
847 texter, an adopted Pyrenees Landseer mixed puppy, was told we should wait until 7 or 8 months before neutering due to cancer concerns in the breed. What are your thoughts?
It wasn't reported in that breed. There were some studies in, I believe it was Rottweilers, that indicated the incidence of certain bone cancers were lessened by the time, if you waited to neuter the males to about a year of age.
But not the Pyrenees Landseer. By the way, is that in Rottweiler Monthly?
Pardon me?
Is that where you read that, Rottweiler Monthly or the Rottweiler Digest? Where'd you get that information?
It's a blog.
Okay.
I get it every day.
Okay. 224, my cat has dry skin and itches constantly. What can we do for him?
You got to take him to the veterinarian. They need to do a skin scrape to make sure they don't have the dandruff mite, Kylatiella. And then you may have to supplement them with a little fatty acids. We'll see a lot of dry skin this time of year now because of the forced heat in our homes.
It's really embarrassing at work when the cat goes in and the cat's got the dandruff and the other cats don't know how to tell them. You know,
exactly.
Always
very embarrassing.
815, what can be done with a dog with very bad allergies, scratching all the time? Same sort of answer?
No. There's some revolutionary new products. We've got a monoclonal antibody now that can be used, and there's a couple new drugs. We can avoid steroids. In the past, back in the day, Steve, when I had long hair, we used to use steroids on all these dogs, and now we rarely use steroids.
How's your hair now?
It's bad.
Sam and I are members of the Bald Guy Club. Let's go live to Sandberg with a critter question.
Hey, Dr. Sam.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am going to be hosting Thanksgiving this year, and my sister will be bringing her baby, 7-month-old mini English bulldog, Biscuit. Biscuit tends to pant nonstop around a crowd of people.
And I'm the same way.
I just want to know if there's any tricks to, like, get the thing to calm down, slip him a Benadryl or something.
Well, actually, Benadryl is not a bad idea. It is a sleep promoter.
Wow.
But I would probably keep Biscuit in an upstairs bedroom away from the crowd to reduce the anxiety.
Yeah, the thing she always says is she doesn't ask me to put my stepkids up in a bedroom from the family.
Well, they are human.
But they have two legs.
She could go to the veterinarian and ask them to maybe prescribe a very safe anxiolytic drug for a dog that age.
Okay.
Thank you. An anxiolytic drug that's age
anxiolytic drugs.
I was in a band called the anxiolytic drugs.
Is there like a dog breath mint too? Not that Biscuit has bad breath at all, because I'm sure he doesn't, but for the dogs that do pant a lot.
Are there Tic Tacs for dogs, Doc?
There is. There's a lot of products, but nothing as effective as brushing your dog's teeth. Mary wasn't in Colorado, because now they have those treats that have CBD in there, marijuana in there, and that's been used for situations like that. But a lot of those reports are anecdotal. There's been no studies that indicate it really helps.
And it works on a human. There's a dispensary on the west side.
I do find it tends to make the dogs very paranoid.
Yeah. And then he's going to start eating a lot.
And then they're up all night talking until they fall asleep.
And then they're ordering Domino's pizza at 2, 3 in the morning.
Right. And we forgot they had one already. Carm, you have a critter question.
Yeah, Doc, I have a girlfriend who really wanted to get a dog, and I said at the last second that I really don't think this responsibility is a great idea right now. And every time we see an animal, some kind of hurt comes up because we don't have a dog. So any suggestions on how to get through that?
Get a new girlfriend.
New girlfriend, yeah. You know, it's not the quantity of time sometimes with a pet. It's the quality of time.
Right.
And a lot of people that work jobs have pet sitters that come in, dog walkers. There's daycare facilities.
Yeah, Cheapy McCheaperson here. I mean, you live in Chicago. You can get a million dog sitters in this city.
My brother has a dog. We get to take care of it like once every 3 months. Perfect.
Okay, so this isn't really about the dog. It's about you.
No. Yeah.
Correct.
It's about the commitment.
Yeah. My sister's dog goes to what does she call it? She won't call it daycare. She calls it camp every day, and it costs her costs her about $15,000 a year. So I would say, don't get the dog.
I have a similar family situation with a daughter in California who takes her dog.
Oh, the dog! I thought you were talking about your daughter.
Yeah,
because I like your daughter, and I don't want you making fun of that.
What's a good dog walker rate? What do they charge to walk your dog every day
in the city?
In the city, it's a little bit more than in the promised land here in Naperville, I would imagine. But sometimes I've heard people spending anywhere between $50 and $100 sometimes for more than, you know, 2-3 walks. Most of the time, it's about $15-$20 for an hour, I think.
Okay.
But 5 days a week, that's $100 a week.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
So there's $5,000. My son's, this is a 616 texter. My son's chameleon has a swollen eye, probably in a bar fight.
A chameleon with a swollen eye, I would make sure that it doesn't have an incomplete shed. A lot of times when they shed their skin, the spectacle over the eye will remain, and that might have to be removed, and sometimes they can get infection. Chameleons also form abscesses, and the abscess could be causing the eye to be pushed out a little bit. So it needs to be checked by a veterinarian who's has some expertise with reptiles. How old was the son, did she say?
The chameleon?
No, the son.
You mean Sandberg's step nephew?
Seven. How old's Biscuit? Seven.
No, not Biscuit. I'm talking about the gentleman that owned the chameleon, the boy. How old was he?
Oh, I don't know.
Because reptiles in young kids are never a good idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they carry too many diseases. And, you know, we started the segment with it, and it has to do with the poop, Steve.
Oh, boy.
Got to wash your hands. The younger kids are somewhat indiscriminate with their hygiene.
Just make them watch Stranger Things. That'll discourage any kid from getting any sort of reptile.
No reptiles needed. 708, just moved, and my Labrati is mopey and not her usual self. Anything would do to get her playful self back. We have more space and a bigger yard now. Medication?
Well, there is medication, but before I'd go with behavior modification, I would probably want to rule out the fact that the stress of the move didn't allow an underlying problem to start to rear its ugly head. So I would probably have him checked out by a vet just to make sure everything is okay health-wise.
Okay.
Then you could look into the drugs.
847, why is my cat always hungry?
Well, if it's an older male cat, I would want to rule out hyperthyroidism. Or you're not feeding them a good diet.
Right. Is there a specific diet you ought to feed an older cat?
Well, depending on their needs, if they have any underlying medical problems, there's liver diets, there's kidney diets, there's metabolic diets. So that's why you would need to probably look under the hood and do some blood work or that, get some chemistries done, and just make sure it's healthy.
I saw a parakeet outside. How can I catch it to keep it, to help it survive?
Place a cage outside with the door open with some food in there.
Like what, a steak?
Steak, filet.
No, what's a parakeet eat?
Well, parakeets eat a lot of seed, and unfortunately that's not the best for them. It's high in fat, but I would probably put some millet in there. Millet spray is like candy to a parakeet.
Okay. Let's see, I have a dog, this is 763, I have a dog that's eating twice the amount of food she normally does and becomes belligerent if you don't give it to her. Is this normal this time of year or a symptom of something else?
It could be that the dog's behavior is training the owner to feed it more. Obviously, they get delight in eating. I would also question the nutritional value of that diet. Maybe it's not, you know, people get fooled by ingredients when they go to the pet store, and this craze with grain-free is unbelievable. It's such a marketing thing. So the nutritionally, their dog might not be getting enough. So I wouldn't want to know what kind of food the dog's being fed.
815, new puppy starts crying every 3 hours at night, wants to be let out. How do we extend the duration to maybe letting her out once tonight? She's 9 weeks old in Airedale.
Well, the puppy's going to have to be about 4 to 6 months of age before the kidneys are fully developed to hold it that long.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to deal with it for a little bit more.
Yep.
847, 13-year-old Husky Shepherd started peeing in the house. What do we do?
Take it to the vet and make sure it doesn't have a UTI, urinary tract infection.
I know. You didn't have to tell me. I'm not dumb.
And a UA, urinalysis. Rule out kidney disease, diabetes. Make sure it doesn't have a bladder stone, bladder tumor. So it could be a variety of reasons. If everything comes back clean, unfortunately, it could be cognitive. Sometimes older pets are like older people. They learn, they forget their bathroom habits.
708, and by the way, I thought UA was Under Armour. Not in this case?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
708, incontinence in a large breed female.
Probably due to the fact lack of estrogen. Estrogen's important to keep the urethral sphincter tight by the bladder there.
I was in a
so they can put them on a drug
sphincters.
To help that, but you would need to rule out underlying infection or any anatomic. The active ingredient that one of the drugs we use is a drug called PPA. Phenylpropanolamine, and it works pretty well, but there's a lot of stuff on the internet about people stroking out on it, and that it usually be the active ingredient in a diet supplement, and you know, people were overdoing it on the diets and stroking out, but you don't have to worry about that in your pets.
Got a million questions. We can't get to all of them. I apologize for that. This is always why we have Doc back. He's so darn popular. Karm, a tip for you here, too, in the 872. Have the girlfriend volunteer at a pet center.
Not bad, not bad.
Great idea.
All right, I've got less than a minute.
How about fostering?
How about fostering?
What's that mean? You get a for like a,
yeah,
a weekend?
Yeah, dog for a month and you give it back.
It's like a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hate it. Don't hate it.
Okay.
A little fostering, sure.
Okay. All right. Take
we're
longer
here to help.
Take longer to answer next time. All right, so.
I got to think about these
things,
Steve.
Contemplate it, yeah. All right, Doc, I got less than a minute. Tell me a story.
what kind of story you want?
Well, I thought you might have one prepared. It's not like this segment's a surprise.
I get so nervous. I'm like Wayne Mesmer before the national anthem during the World Series when I come on the show. There's been a rabies death in a person last month in Florida from bats. So, you know, unfortunately, when you get bit by a bat, it's usually not like you lose a finger or something and you forget about it. I have to warn people, wild animals, you get bit, you have to report it to your doctor. There's been a major pet store that's been having a diarrhea-related illness in people from the puppies. So here again, if you go to a pet store and you look at puppies, make sure you wash your hands real good.
Yeah, wash your hands anyway. Yeah.
Exactly. Wash your hands.
I always laugh at the restaurants when you go and you say employees must wash their hands. Well, what about the rest of us? Shouldn't everyone?
Steve, if we did cut the head off a cockroach, how does it die?
If you cut the head off a cockroach, how
does it die? From blood loss or brain damage or shock or does it starve? How does it die?
I'm going to go blood loss.
No, it's starvation. Because they don't need a head. They don't need a brain. They don't lose blood.
But they have no way to connect the food to the rest of them at that point?
Yeah, they can't eat. No head, you can't eat. They'll survive for a couple weeks.
That's why they could survive a nuclear holocaust. If there's
exactly,
food.
Without
right,
a
doctor. Yep.
Fascinating cockroach facts, just part of the fun with Dr. Sam. How do we contact the Indian Prairie Animal Hospital?
Oh, boy. 630-820-6999. And the website is www.ipahvet.com.
Indian Prairie Animal Hospital Vet, IPAHVET.com, right?
Correct.
All right, Doc, thanks. You're the best. I'll talk to you later at 7:05. We're way late. We'll get the news next at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
7:15, Northwestern Wildcats football this weekend. Oh, the text question continues. We can even ask coaches. What are you too old for, and how old are you when you're too old for it? Okay? Started with Mark Carmen wearing his wool cap pulled down like he's Eminem's uncle picking him up. What are you too old for? How old are you when you're too old for it? And are you male or female? We've got a bunch of these to read. We'll get back to it coming up. Oh, a lot of people love Dr. Sam.
Guy's
Dr.
awesome.
Dr. Sam. I mean, the texts keep coming in on Dr. Sam. People going, loving the segment. The vet's fantastic. 217, I don't have a pet, but I still want to go see Dr. Sam. All right, who's this brought to us by?
Fitz, sponsored by the Fields Auto Group, Steve.
You got one, Coach. What are you too old for now? What are you now too old for?
Wow. I don't think I'm too old for anything.
Cap backwards? How about the cap backwards?
In the right setting? Absolutely.
I think you get to 50, you can't wear a backpack anymore. I think a dude looks ridiculous if he's over 50 in a backpack.
Yeah, but then you transition to a fanny pack, don't you? So, I mean.
Okay. All right. You're too old for that. You're not old enough for that reference. Or maybe you're too old. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying you change one backpack for another.
Coach Fitz, congratulations. This team feels like it's in a great place. Does your prep change when you get on a nice roll like this?
Yeah, you dial it up a notch. Yeah, you take it up a level. You know, there's an old coachism out there that, you know, you got to get them back when you lose, and you got to take it up when you win. And you know, we've been really grinding these last really month and a half, and hopefully we'll take that with us out to Lincoln. It's a great environment to play in, very tough place to play with just a rabid fan base, and hopefully we'll play our best game of the year.
Once you get into conference play, there's just no weak weekends, is there?
No, because everybody knows each other. Again, the fans are great. The environments are electric. And, you know, it really comes down to the week-by-week health of your ball club that plays a big factor sometimes in the games, you know. And each week is a one-game season. And, you know, we found a way here the last 3 weeks to get it done in Big Ten play. And this will probably be our, you know, hardest road challenge to date. With you know, Wisconsin had a really good environment, but without a doubt. But this will probably be our hardest road test to date.
You talked about the environment. As a player, and obviously the conference has changed, but as a player, was there a favorite building you liked to play in?
Yeah, probably Kinnick Stadium, you know, with the fans being so close to you. You know, they had a really unique way of making you feel welcome to the state of Iowa. So
I'd probably say Kinnick Stadium.
Yes, and it was, welcome to Iowa. We hope you enjoy yourself. And then they chanted again.
Hey, Iowa City is a great place. Coach Fitz, I know that's one of the best rivals of the Big Ten. Just as an alum of the Hawkeyes, I want to give him a little prop. Hey, you give Iowa any chance with Ohio State coming in there this weekend? How do you see that game?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, it's conference play. I mean, you've got to execute, and you've got to go out and earn the victory. And absolutely, I give them a chance. I thought Stanley was improving as we watched him. You know, you kind of do your study of an opponent and really thought he was improving and getting better. And, defensively, they're as rock solid as anybody you're going to play, and they're always, always very good in the kicking game.
I got to tell you, Steve, I go to practice each week. I interview a Wildcat for the pregame show. This week we're going to have Joe Gaziano, who I think should open up a pizza joint in town. I mean, Gaziano. Yeah.
Gaziano's Pizza.
He had the sack the near sack that almost ended the game on Saturday. But, Coach, can you show up at work for everybody else? Because listening to you get the guys ready at the end of practice is just, it's a great moment. It's actually my highlight of the week. And right now you're talking about moving into November and keeping yourself, getting your rest, being ready. It's just, your guys seem super in tune to listen to you right now, Coach. Do you feel that way? Like everybody's looking to take it to the next level with everything that's been going on the last couple of weeks, getting the momentum?
Yeah, it's amazing, Mark, how winning cures a lot of ills. I think the guys have been great all year. We've been really dialed in. I think they've worked really hard in practice, and we've just got to continue to coach them to be consistent in game. And, again, we've had another good week this week. I hope we take it with us now to Lincoln. But, yeah, the guys are dialed in. I'm very proud of them.
When fans are listening to Mr. Cat and the call, they'll hear Nebraska names they don't necessarily know. So who are you focused on, and who can the fans key in on?
Well, the quarterback, Tanner Lee, I think everything offensively goes through him. You know, the month of September, he threw quite a few interceptions, and then he flipped it over. He flipped his turnover touchdown ratio over, in the month of October. But the key thing for us, frankly, is, more focusing on ourselves. We've got to play clean. We've got to take care of the ball. Third down is going to be really important to get off the field as always, but also offensively in that environment when it's going to be raucous and loud. And then I'm really impressed with their two return men, J.D. Spielman, kickoff return man, and DeMornay Pearson-L, who's been there as a punt returner, I think, since my 8-year-old Brendan has been alive. So we got our hands full. We're going to put a net around those guys and play really well in the kick game.
Coach, if a punt returner's been there 8 years, I think we need to have an eligibility audit there. But who am I to judge?
That was a joke. It was something probably when you're too old to do something, I was hoping that would happen, but I tried.
So I'm too old to understand you're being funny. I knew it was a joke. all right, get out there, have some fun, and get another win. I like what you guys are doing.
Well, if you do, then I feel better about myself.
I know you do.
I appreciate the support. Go Cats.
I know. You get nervous when I'm judgmental. That's Coach Fitz, Northwestern football. Time tomorrow, win. Mark, do you know off the top of your head?
Time is, our pregame is at 2, kickoff at 2:30.
Well done, without any warning whatsoever.
Yeah, no, right on it. I don't know why Teddy Greenstein's writing articles about what's a successful season for Northwestern. Going to a bowl game on New Year's Day, I think that's a successful year, right?
Of course it is.
I love Teddy, by the way.
Yeah, of course it is. I like Teddy, too.
Bowl eligible if they win on Saturday, Steve.
Who brought us this?
This was brought to you by the Fields Auto Group.
We're going to come back, read you some of these texts. What are you too old for? When are you too old for it? Boys and girls, 312-981-7200. Coming up in, you got about an hour, I suppose, before Dean's on, and then Brian Campbell will be back with us. Breakfast for the Blackhawks soup's on today as the Hawks try to make it 2 in a row tomorrow in Minnesota. Traffic, Mary, what do you got? What are you too old for? How old are you when you're too old for it? Mark Carman, I think you would agree, I'm the big brother you never wanted.
Yeah, this is true.
So when I saw him come in with his wool hat on, indoors.
You got worried.
He's trying too hard to be young. You have to accept the ravages of old age.
Is it too old for me to go to tennis camp, Steve?
Are you going to wear the super short shorts?
Like Bjorn Borg.
I do have some Agassiz that Jimmy DeCastro gave me. I think that would look good out there. Mm-hmm.
If you're over 30, you're too old for video games. I don't know about that.
That's not true.
Nah.
I don't know about that. No, I think it depends on the video game.
I'll go play Centipede right now.
Don't try him. He'll do it.
Don't date yourself there. Pac-Man.
25, man or woman, a baseball cap backwards. No, not a 25. Plus, I think women always look great in baseball cap if they do it up.
Yeah, I like wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah, women are always cute in caps.
But yeah, there's no worse look than a frat guy wearing a backwards cap.
50.
That
50.
Guy.
No, I think you can go to 50. I think 50. At 50, you have to stop wearing a baseball cap backwards, unless you're being a goof.
Right.
Let's see. Spot on with the backpack, but the age should be 30, not 50. You see, like, a college professor walking down the street with a backpack. Get a briefcase.
Right.
Come on.
Or a satchel.
74. Am I too old for a ponytail? Yes.
Yes.
Let's see. Bringing a baseball glove to a baseball game.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I see a lot of dads doing that.
This texter says the age limit is 12.
Yeah. Agreed.
I'd say 8.
Agreed. Oh,
12's pretty good. 12's not bad. And I'm firing through these as fast as I can here. Some of them relate to other stories that came up on the show and can't be said on the air. Some of them are the same texters you call, text every morning to tell me they hope I die. Those don't really fit this segment. But we got a couple more here from the 847. Women, 30 or over, no more ripped jeans. Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
No.
No, those are trendy. I have one for women, though. Bachelorette parties. I'm not talking where, you know, you're, say, 30 plus and you're going to go have a nice dinner with your girlfriends and then out for drinks. I'm talking those, you know, where you're carrying around different, let's say, toys or items.
Yes, male
cut
genitalia.
Cut that off at 20, 21.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I've been invited to a lot of my nieces, and I go to the dinner, and then when they go to the bars, I leave.
I don't even mind. The dinner and bars are fine. But
you just don't
want to
wear a penis hat.
Around, no. Come on. It would suck for a buck. I mean, I think that is so just over. So done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an age where it just...
Oh, yeah, right. Know. Over...
I mean, if you're...
Okay, 22,
if you're
maybe.
In your 20s and you're goofing around, I suppose it's fine.
Yeah, that... All right, maybe
by the way, do you know this? The worst crowd at a comedy club, and I'm not even slightly making this up.
Oh, the bachelorettes?
The bachelorette party
at
a comedy club, because you're not interested in listening.
No.
And it's a comedy club.
Right. You just want to squeal.
Yeah,
and...
go to a bar.
Right.
Go to a bar. Go to a restaurant. Let's see, 224. Women over 40 should not wear colorful leggings. And there also should be a weight limit. Well, that's not nice.
I disagree. What about like Lululemon pants?
Well, that's what she says.
Lululemon?
No, this is LuLaRoe. Is that
LuLaRoe.
What it is?
Yes. LuLaRoe. It's a company that
women
sells
over 40 should
stuff.
Not wear colorful LuLaRoe leggings.
Yeah. I haven't heard of those.
Oh, they're really cool. They're at all the craft shows, and it's a franchise, and you know, women have their own companies with it, and they're cute pants. Some of them are a little crazy that I would not wear, but I kind of disagree with that.
You know, body awareness, right?
If you have a long enough top, it's fine. But if your top's too short, no.
630, I'm a 60-year-old male. I'm too old to get up this early to answer this question.
There you go. There you go.
I like that guy.
Staying up past 10.
Women over 35, no more crop tops. Again, I think it depends on the female. And self-confidence goes a long way
big
here.
Big time, yeah, absolutely.
Sandberg.
I'm currently wearing Lululemon pants.
Yeah, Lululemon I've heard of.
Are those the ones I bought you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you got me. Yeah. I do a lot of yoga. It's called athleisure.
And by the way, just so people are clear here, I bought you a gift card that you used for
right.
the
Yes.
You didn't
and
go buy her yoga pants?
Yeah.
No, that would
and
be
I have a Lululemon top on. But then I do have a Nike golf jacket on.
Lululemon I've heard of, but what's this other one? Is it the same company?
LuLaRoe. I've never heard of LuLaRoe.
I never have either.
Yeah.
But I mean, athleisure is like the biggest clothing right now. So it's comfortable clothes where you look kind of cute.
847, women over a certain age shouldn't wear a two-piece swimsuit. Well, again, I think it's body awareness.
No, that's crazy.
You gotta be, you know.
Well, then we can flip it and say guys over 30 shouldn't be wearing swim trunks, period.
What, do you want them naked?
Well, no.
773, men over 20 shouldn't wear shirts with horizontal stripes. What is the horizontal stripe trend that's going on?
Makes you look lighter.
Is it still happening?
Just makes you look
lighter. It makes skinny guys look fat.
Yeah.
Except Charlie Brown, he doesn't.
Women over 12 shouldn't wear pigtails.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Come on. Unless it's a Halloween costume.
Yeah, but there's a time and place.
Some people wear braids.
Look at you. Sorry, Carms. That's Carms' weekend.
847-63, too old for short shorts, bangs, and bubble gum. that will pull out my crowns that I just had put in. Oh. Keep them coming. What are you too old for? Back with the big story next, 720 WGN.
Previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
Doc Mo said at the Central DuPage Hospital, I watched an operation on a man who must have been a magician. They reached in to take his appendix and pulled out, and Liz said, a long scarf. So, Andrea, let's start with you. What your answer?
I put, for no rhyme or reason, a beating heart.
A beating heart.
Once again, you seem to be struggling with this game.
Liz, I'm
already going to apologize, Liz. Here we go. Mary Sandberg, what is your answer?
My answer is a jelly bean.
A jelly bean. Okay.
Still laughing about your answer.
Did you hear the word magician?
Yes, magician.
Mark Carmen?
John, I went with the old diving outlet.
That is now the worst answer in the history of match game. By the way, I'm including the Gene Rayburn years. Mark Carmen here for Dave Ennett this morning. Mr. Cat will be on the Northwestern broadcast tomorrow.
Go Cats.
Speaking of magicians, before we go any further, we got a bunch of stuff to catch up on here. Sandberg just showed me a video. She apparently thought she was going to a mechanic, and she went to a magician instead to get a nail out of her tire. I don't even know what happened here. They set your car on fire?
Basically. Yesterday, I
so you got a nail in your tire.
Yeah, I got that low pressure, tire pressure signal on my dashboard or whatever, and so I went to there's a gas station, a Shell in our, right by our house that has like a service bay thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pull up, they'll just put air
in
your
tires. Sleight of hand magic there too.
Yes. And a gentleman named Ivan, he came out and I said, I don't know which tire it is because my car doesn't tell you. He goes, oh, I'll check them all. They're so nice. And so he's doing them all. And then when he got to the one back tire, he goes, ah, and he pointed and there's a nail in your tire. And I said, oh, and he said, I can fix it right now. And I'm like, okay. So I thought he was going to pull the car in, put it on that thingy, take the tire off and do whatever. And
the lift, as it's called.
The lift, yeah. Next thing I know, he right there, he has some stuff. He pulls out the thing. He stuffs something in it, and then he set it on fire.
Set the tire on fire?
Wow. Visually, it looks like he put something on the tire and then ignited whatever that liquid was.
And it pulls the nail out?
No, he pulled the nail out, and I think he stuffed something in it. And it was so quick, and then I had to get my phone out to take a video.
Cauterizing the wound or something.
Yes. So,
I've never heard of this. Have you ever heard of this?
It cost me $29, and then he said it was good.
I would have set your car on fire for free.
And he said that it was good for the life of the tire. And then I told my dad, because I had told my dad and Pat, my husband, that I had low tire pressure. And then my dad asked us, a guy he knows, Mike, at this place where he gets his car worked on and things, and he said he's never heard of it. And so then I started getting nervous, and I was Googling it, and it seems like a lot of people do it on tractor tires.
Hey, if it works on a tractor tire, it's got to work on a
But nobody, I'm just curious if what is happening that makes that work, if anyone knows.
Well, that's
and if
the thing,
they've
I don't
heard,
understand.
Do I really understand. Trust that it's going to be going to last, or should I get a different tire?
Well, the 630 texture says he melted resin into the tire. He was plugging it.
Okay. So right. Is that...
I mean, it seems to make sense.
I'm texting my friend who's a mechanic.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
I'm just impressed that Mary had the phone ready to take the video.
I am so quick with pictures and
she's good
video.
With pictures
yeah.
And stuff,
so
yeah.
Then that's why I couldn't really say what happened because I was busy getting my phone ready for an Instagram.
That's really cool.
Video.
It looks neat, too.
I set a lot of insurance fires for cars when I was in college.
He does not.
7:47, we get traffic. And
I didn't even have to wait for it to dry. Like
you could just drive on
it. Right away. So,
well, a lot of people don't know. If you're running low on gas, if you say hocus pocus, clap your hands twice, your car will fill up immediately.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's true. 773, it's called a plug. Everybody does that now as a quick fix for tires.
But is it a lasting fix?
It's called a tire plug. Is it a lasting fix as in forever?
Right.
Well,
he
said
it's for the life of the tire. And it's not an old tire, so.
So, in other words, if you have another problem, you're going to need another fire.
Yeah, I've had that done to my tire before.
You've had it?
Fire?
Fire?
Not a fire, but the tire plug.
Well, yeah, but that's
they set it on fire.
Well, I don't know. I don't watch him do it. I don't know. My husband brings it, so I don't.
Did Ivan the Gray think about the ozone layer burning rubber like that? I mean, what about that?
Hey, careful. We found out this week.
Yeah.
NASA. that the ozone layer, the hole in the ozone layer, is smaller than it's been in 25 years.
All right.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
How about that?
That's awesome.
That's because we stopped using the bad hairspray.
That's right.
All right. We're covering everything here this morning.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A modern form of communication between Facebook and Twitter, and I guess Instagram. I have 28 million people. It's a great form of communication.
I have a method of fighting back. That's very tough.
But you're going to do that as president.
I'm going to do very restrained, if I use it at all. I'm going to do very restrained. I'm not saying I love it, but it does get the word out.
I'm sitting there tweeting, bing, bing, bing. You press a button, bing, bing. I love it. I love it.
Bing, bing, bing. Oh, the tweet storms. He's got himself a major tweet weather system this morning. We'll get to it in just a second. In case you missed this yesterday, the Democrats, who have not been able to somehow figure out a way to maximize their benefit of having this controversial president in the White House, the Democrats basically ought to all just get in a clown car at this point and drive away. Yesterday, Donna Brazile, who was the interim director of the DNC and a major Democratic force for years and years and years, did an essay that came out promoting her new book. And apparently she grew a conscience because she's decided now is the time to say that she discovered that Hillary Clinton's campaign did, in fact, job Bernie Sanders and fix the nomination process to guarantee that she would be the nominee. Now, this is not illegal. It's highly unethical. And what happened was, and it's President Obama's fault, Obama essentially bankrupted the DNC. The president's job is to help, obviously a small part of the job, but well, maybe not so small. But the president's job is to keep getting their party's candidates elected, right, in part, right? They also are responsible for trying to raise money. And in raising money, they do the fundraisers, they do the various things. But you try to keep your in Trump's case, the RNC, and in Obama's case, the DNC, well-funded. Well, mismanagement can certainly cause you to lose a lot of money, and the DNC was essentially bankrupt. So when you become the party's nominee, what you get, from my understanding, and I don't know this business of fundraising, thankfully, but from my understanding, and it's really more of a Pat Brady question, but from my understanding, the DNC would supply data, and money. Mm-hmm. Well, if they don't have money, then you better get the data. But the other thing they can supply, if you have some sort of control over them, is how they message. And if their messaging suddenly is more pro-Hillary than it is Bernie, that's a situation. Maybe there's some behind the scenes going on with state primaries still to come. Mm-hmm. That's all part of this concern. So it seems to be, by all accounts, quite clear that Hillary Clinton's campaign not only bailed out the DNC and kept them in business, but also put them on an allowance and also set the race up to the nomination so that she would absolutely win it. Mm-hmm. Not surprising news.
No.
But again, the Clinton campaign continues to be the second worst campaign of all time, right behind the guy that won, Donald Trump. So the tweets have been going off all night. I guess can he tweet on Air Force One? You would think he could still be able to keep this going. But let's start with his Twitter account going down. Let's start even farther back than that. Tucker Carlson, who couldn't be a more obnoxious little punk on Fox. Tucker Carlson's opening rant last night was about the FBI and laid out a bunch of disappointments. And in his words, or in his mind, misdoings by the FBI. Here's Trump following up on it. The Tucker Carlson opening statement about our once cherished and great FBI was sad to watch. James Comey's leadership was a disaster. There is no evidence of that. There is absolutely no evidence that Comey was anything but well-loved at the FBI and that he was in the job for as long as he was because he was really good at the job. So the president's not only wrong, he is irresponsible for tweeting that out as usual. 2 hours later, my Twitter account was taken down for 11 minutes by a rogue employee. I guess the word must finally be getting out and having an impact. What?
I don't know.
An hour after that, everybody is asking why the Justice Department, the FBI, isn't looking into all the dishonesty going on with Crooked Hillary and the Dems. No, not everybody. You are. And the list gets kind of short after that. 1 hour after that, new Donna B. book says she paid for and stole the Democratic primary. What about the deleted emails, Uranium, Podesta, the server, plus, all a distraction from the Russia story? Not that the Hillary story doesn't matter, but it should matter more to Democrats.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
The Democrats should be the ones that are outraged by this. And Donna Brazile, let's be honest, you're selling a book. I don't know who she's trying to sell the book to. Because
right.
Who cares? She's not a household name.
No.
So the people that would buy the Donna Brazile book would be political nerds and more likely Democrat political nerds.
Yeah.
And the Democrats, I think, would be angry with her because she's blowing up their party.
Exactly.
So this is bad marketing. Trump an hour after that. People are angry. At some point, the Justice Department, the FBI, must do what's right and proper. Well, they're working on it. Let's see. Another tweet. The real story on collusion is the Donna B. book. Crooked Hillary bought the DNC, then stole the Democratic Party from Crazy Bernie.
Crooked Hillary, fuck.
Wait, there's more.
He's got nickname Palooza going on. Pocahontas, this is another tweet, just stated that the Democrats, led by the legendary Crooked Hillary Clinton, rigged the primaries. Let's go FBI and Justice Department. Again, Mr. President, ask someone.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's not illegal. It's unethical and ridiculous and all of the BS the Clintons have pulled for a generation.
He knows Hillary lost the election, right?
No.
I'm just after seven tweets.
No.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. I'm
no.
just.
And then he does an ISIS tweet and another ISIS tweet. And so it goes. I have a feeling.
Taking advantage of lost time from yesterday.
815 texter says, how about we start the chant, lock them both up.
Mm.
So. And somebody else is questioning Donna Brazile, saying, how do we know she's telling the truth? Well, in fact, we don't. But the evidence is out there, and the Clinton campaign hasn't denied it, mm-hmm. and it's 24 hours later. Bernie, by the way, was offered the same deal, Bernie Sanders. And their campaign did not take it. The same deal to try to fund the DNC. So we're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
It's 8:12, and as a kid growing up in upstate New York, as Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Good morning. Better make it good today, Steve.
I used to listen to John Records Landecker doing Boogie Check through the static on my radio doing my homework.
Me too.
And
not in upstate New York, though.
Yeah, but I was in upstate New York, you know, and the point was, I thought this guy's the best. Turned out he was the best.
I was here in Chicago when he was the best.
The greatest disc jockey of all time.
Amen.
You know, you normally can't compare eras, all of that, but I got to meet him at one point very early on in my career. And it was the first time I was possibly going to get a job in Chicago. And he was working for an agent at the time. And he had listened to a show of mine. And he liked what I did. That's like Hank Aaron telling you you're a good hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was that good. So that'd be super great, Dean, since I know he's at Channel 9, if you could just tell him I'm a big fan.
Well, maybe you can tell him yourself.
What?
Because
what?
He's
what?
Right here, Steve. I know you're shocked to hear that John Records Landecker, the one, the only, and...
HOFer. That's what he is. He's an HOFer.
Inducted last night into the National Radio Hall of Fame. He's right here with us this morning.
Yeah, right.
Please hold your applause until all people are mentioned. Thank you.
Yeah.
John Landecker, you are getting the coveted Steve Cochran Show sitting ovation.
Thank you. I know that is even bigger than the award last night.
How were you excited? Was it cool?
It is so out of body, weird, cosmic. I don't even really know how to describe it. It was cool, of course, and it's great and all of that, but it's also strange, I got to say. It's strange.
You always seemed a little too modest for the human statue that you became. counting you amongst my friends in the business, one of the great thrills of my life. Because I'm telling you, you are, and Dean, you'll back me up on this. You were a disc jockey. I was a disc jockey.
Yep.
We couldn't carry Landecker's headphones. And by the way, we were pretty good.
I did a college paper on John Rickard's Land.
What?
I wrote a paper for you.
I never heard
about,
of this.
About your show. I had.
Do you have
audio,
still have it?
Audio clips, no.
The dot matrix paper, Dean, that you, can,
no, this
you didn't
was,
save it?
This was hand typewriter.
Ooh.
This was
wow.
This was before dot matrix computers.
Yeah.
Dean chipped it in the stone and he ran it to the village where his professor
that
was.
That impresses me
That's
more
right.
than the Hall of Fame Award.
If only I'd had some carbon paper so I could have
yeah.
made an extra copy of that. And I think I got an A on the paper also because I had audio. It was like my first multimedia thing The paper was about John, and I had recorded clips of his show and boogie checks and Americana Panorama and all of the signature things that he used to do. It was...
How long have I known you? You've never told me this.
I've never... Well, you've never gotten into the Radio Hall of Fame before.
Oh, that's I wanted to when make you find out what Dean Richards did
I want to make sure
past.
This was going to stick before I told you.
By the way, your delightful daughter, Amy Landecker...
Who's also here, Steve, by the way.
Oh, is she really?
Not at the mic, but she's in the building. She's getting some makeup right now.
She was on with us a couple of weeks ago.
She's good, isn't she?
Well, not only is she good, she gushed about her father.
Oh, she's so proud of you, John?
Yeah. She was talking about what a thrill it was. And
I'm proud of her, too, by the way.
Well, of course. That's the dad thing. But you need to know that your kid's really proud of you.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm very grateful for that.
Steve, I also wrote a paper about Amy Landecker in college.
And that's what John said, stay away.
She wasn't even born then, but I had a feeling there was going to be this remarkable actress in this show called Transparent.
Speaking of the unborn.
What?
Last night I actually thanked a fetus.
What are you talking about?
Well, I was thanking everybody in my family.
Yeah.
And I got to my nephew, Will, and his wife, Caitlin, and their unborn child, who has another month left in Caitlin's womb.
Well,
I mean,
nice.
I got everybody. I even thanked my dogs.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Biggest break you got in the business was what and from whom?
Well, I would say the biggest break that ever happened was I was at Michigan State University, and I was on a local station in Lansing, WILS, and two people who really are not in broadcasting, Dave Alberry and Jim Donahue, without me knowing, recorded my show, and they were friends with a disc jockey in Detroit at CKLW named Mike Rivers, who kept the tape and went to WIBG in Philadelphia, and they had an opening, and he gave the tape to the program director, and I got a call at Michigan State as a student, as a senior, saying WIBG in Philadelphia wants to fly you out tomorrow for a job interview.
By the way, just so we're clear,
that doesn't happen.
This is when disc jockeys were king. And you don't go from 0 to 60. You don't go from college to the majors.
Wait, Steve. Good news, I go to Philadelphia. Bad news, your name is Scott Walker.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
The first genius management you ever ran
and
into.
That was a nightmare. So, but the big break, though, if you really want to talk about it, has got to be that because it put me into the major markets. I was there. They sold the station. New people came in. It was total personality. And then that led to WLS. But the initial thing it really has got to be these two guys giving a tape unbeknownst to me.
Well, you know, Dean, the one thing I always loved about John is he's the same guy on the air as he is off the air. And by the way, he'll just be walking down the street doing boogie checks with tourists. to be the same guy is a great thrill for all these fans, for all these years who have loved you, get a chance to meet you and stuff. But you're just a good dude.
You know, I got to say,
along with being a great disc jockey, you're just a good guy.
I always loved, thank you. I always loved being on WGN, too, by the way. I always have loved the station.
Yeah, well,
Wally, all of it. All the
WGN,
way back.
Right? I mean, for those of you know, you've been in Chicago, decades. So is Steve. I grew up here. If you did, WGN was... top of the mountain.
And in a lot of different ways, too, not just ratings-wise, but the way things were done first class and still are. And, has a full news staff, and it's really a radio station. I know that sounds sort of ridiculous, but today there are radio stations that aren't really radio stations.
Yeah, it's true.
I loved it when you were here, John.
Oh, thanks.
You know, it's interesting.
For 5 minutes.
I've been doing the story on TV all morning about the John's induction last night and talking about the boogie check, assuming that every man, woman, and child on Earth knows what a boogie check is. Mm-hmm. And a millennial came up to me in the hallway and said, what's boogie check?
Well, listen, they were fired, weren't they? I hope they were fired.
I was on with Rowan. I was on with Rowan Anna a while ago, and she says on the air, what's a boogie check? I mean, not everybody.
Devontae's? Oh, that's right. Devontae's didn't grow up here.
No. So,
yeah, I thought
well,
she,
yes, she did, but she's.
Oh, but that's right. She went
she's
away.
Not
oh,
90 yeah, she did, years
yeah.
old.
Yeah, yeah.
So why would she know it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
90. You watch your mouth.
So how do you describe what boogie check is, John?
You had to be
I started
there.
To.
It's a,
I started to describe it. And it's like you sort of had to hear it.
It's as if Steve suddenly decided to have everybody call in, and he answered the phone rapidly on the air, saying whatever he wanted, and they said whatever they wanted on the phone, and that's what they did for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, he was
bang,
checking
bang,
their
bang,
boogie.
Bang, 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 bang.
Unscreened, right?
But it was really, oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, that was one of its biggest initial attractions was no one in top 40 radio or rock radio or most radio actually at that point put live unscreened phone right. calls on the air.
Playing without a net.
And the kids swore, and there was no delay. And so, they're swearing on the air. And then that got around the teenage community in Chicago, so everybody was calling. And the FCC said at the time, you have to be just very diligent about keeping these calls off the air. Well, you can't be diligent about it because by the time you know that they're going to do that on
right,
the air. They've already done it on the
right,
air.
Right.
So
right.
WLS had to come up with they invented a delay system.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, at that point, you didn't have Facebook, so the
no.
kids communicated
oh,
on
listen.
Something called Face Bike.
Think
yeah.
about
where,
it.
Where you would get on your bike and you'd ride to your friend's house and your face would see their face and you'd tell them about Boogie Check.
Yeah, but think about it. There were two rock stations in Chicago at the time, WLS and WCFL. They were both on AM. There wasn't an internet, no Spotify, no satellite radio, no
right.
iHeart. None of that. I mean, it was a very limited menu.
Well, listen, here's the thing. The most amazing thing is you were probably playing 10 records an hour?
Well, some of the worst music ever recorded, regardless of whatever it was.
To be able to be entertaining in 10 seconds, in 15 seconds, in 30 seconds, at the most, it was a two-minute burst you may have had once a night, twice a night. And to be as legendary as this tells you who John Landecker was
oh, yeah.
as an entertainer.
Well, John Guerin, who was the program director who I saw last night,
I love John. He's a good man.
He's a great man, and he governed a group of crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
And there were things that lasted 5-6 minutes as things got on, mm-hmm. and as long as the ratings were there, he didn't bat an eye. So.
That was revolutionary.
And, it was a great staff, too, by the way. I mean, we're talking Lou Jack and Surratt and Winston.
Yeah, then nothing ever happened with those guys.
No, they're total failures, as I told Bob last night. He inducted me, by the way.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
I said,
We love Surratt.
I said, I'm throwing you this bone, Bob, because,
He could use a break.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you got to go to TV, but I couldn't be more thrilled for you, and it's beyond deserved, and... Yeah, we love you, man.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Right back at you guys.
Steve, I love this idea of unscreened phone calls. Why don't we do that in the next segment?
How about you wait till I go on a Trump rant, then we open the phones?
Yeah. And I used to do Nixon impersonations.
Yes, I remember.
You know what I mean?
Oh, what was your song? Take a Walk
Make
on
a date
the water,
with Watergate.
Make a Date on the Watergate.
It was done to Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed.
Hey, do me a favor. Give me 10 minutes to call back as Nixon.
Okay.
Hello, Steve.
John Records Landecker. Records truly is his middle name, and he's a Hall of Famer. Thanks, buddy. More with Dean in a second. Here's Mary with the traffic.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards.
8:28, we continue on 720 WGN with Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Come on, how cool
would
that
be? How fun would that be, though, if you did a whole show not on delay and unscreen calls to give people an idea of what unfiltered Steve Cochran show might be like.
In the early 80s, we didn't have a delay, before I made the majors. But until I got to Miami, we didn't have delay. So
people were more civil then.
Yeah. I actually said an F-bomb twice on the air. I should have been on delay. I thought we were off the air and I left the microphone on. Well, nice move, Steve. That's why you should never let me fly this plane.
I don't know if I've ever done that.
Well, you dropped a couple of S-bombs on this show.
Well, I did do that. But listen on Sunday. I'll listen for the phrase that really pays.
Yes. And by the way, when you hear Dean Kearse be the seventh caller, you'll be a big winner.
You'll get the show. You'll win the show.
Exactly. Brian Campbell's coming up in a few minutes. All right, let's go through some weekend entertainment here, starting with this new Kevin Spacey situation. Because when you have trouble in Hollywood, don't you automatically go into treatment?
If you're smart, you take it seriously, yes. But that's so he's done that. Allegedly, his PR firm issued a statement, I think it was yesterday, that said that he was going into treatment. Now, since then, the PR firm has dropped him as a client, and so has his talent agency.
Wow, that's a big deal.
CAA, that's a huge talent agency in Hollywood and New York, and they both dropped him as a client. So there's that, but also new allegations now from eight people who worked on House of Cards accusing him of improper touching and crude language. All of this after the Anthony Rapp allegations that came out the other day of an assault 32 years ago.
You know what? Since House of Cards is such a great show, what I wish they would do is just release him from the contract because...
Well, they may do that, right? They may spin it off.
That's will they do that,
Dean? They said that they're considering a spinoff of the... Is it the press secretary's...
Oh, Doug Stamper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It'd
just
on
be
his
so
character.
Much more, I guess, female empowering if they could make Robin Wright the lead or
kill
somehow...
Kill him off. You know, Robin Wright's the president.
Start shooting people.
Steve Cochran, right.
But he was shot earlier in one of the seasons.
Right.
So maybe they shoot him again. I don't know.
So also new accusations against Harvey Weinstein this morning, also from Boardwalk Empire actress Paz de la Huerta. Mm-hmm. She is claiming that she was raped by Harvey Weinstein twice in 2010. She goes into great detail, but said that she had too much alcohol once. Harvey Weinstein offered to give her a ride home and did. He brought her into her apartment where she alleges that the attack took place. And then something similar happened a month or so later. Same kind of deal. She let him back into the apartment and she alleges that it happened a second time. So New York State's statute of this happened in 2010. The New York State statute of limitations is still valid on these accusations. So a detective who was heading up the Weinstein investigation in New York is telling Vanity Fair magazine that there could be an arrest based on those allegations.
He's an animal. He ought to be in jail. Movie reviews in fairly quick order here. Bad Moms Christmas is worse than a
hated
Bad Moms.
It, hated it. Couldn't stand it. I know a lot of people who love that first Bad Moms movie. I did not, so maybe if you like the first one, you're going to like this better. But it's stale writing. It's predictable everything. Just, you know, falling. It's they've churned out another raunchy female comedy. This one with bad writing and not especially good performances, so I gave this one a Dean's List D. I did like Thor Ragnarok. That's going to be the number one movie. It's action-filled. It's fun. Especially heavy with the comedy this time. That's what really is setting this one apart. I gave that one a Dean's List B. And I actually liked best this week the Woody Harrelson movie in which he plays President Lyndon Johnson.
I talked to Nick about this yesterday. As much as I love Bryan Cranston in All the Way, the incredible HBO movie about Johnson. Am I going to be able to get by that and enjoy Woody Harrelson's performance?
Well, if you didn't like it because of Bryan Cranston.
No, I loved it because of Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, well, and I think, I mean, this is a very interesting telling of how he got to be a leader in Congress and his relationship with the Kennedys and his evolution of a landslide election that put him in office on his own. And his demise from the Vietnam War. So very interesting story that wise. I think history buffs will be satisfied. But Woody Harrelson, I think, really elevates this movie. I don't know if it's because he's also from Texas. He could, you know, channel that energy differently. Yeah. I liked it quite a bit and gave it a B+.
You're on the radio Sunday.
I am with Gary Oldman. Talked to him the other day.
And lots of cursing.
Conversation. I will be dropping the F-bomb at least once during the show.
Yep. Listen closely.
Lin-Manuel Miranda and also TV chef Lydia Bastianich on Sunday.
I think that was the first curse right there. All right, buddy. Thank you, and thanks for getting us Landecker.
Boogie check, boogie check.
Ooh, ah. back on the big story.
Says the old guys.
Do it again. Do it again.
No, we do. We'll do it in our private time as we weep about our age. It's time for you, Andrea, next on 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
We'll have a listener question from Daniel Janowski in just a second. But let me bring in my friend Brian Campbell about your Chicago Blackhawks. Hello, buddy.
How you doing, Steve?
Doing just fine, and congratulations to you.
Thanks. I'm glad you found my number again.
I got to get back on the booking. Seems like Sandberg's just Sandberg's got a problem with you. It's clear. I don't know what it is. Sandberg doesn't seem to like you anymore. Yeah. But this is a cool deal. You're in Ottawa, right?
Yeah, I'm in Ottawa. I got here yesterday.
And your number is going to be retired. When is that, tonight?
Tonight, yep. Tonight's Ottawa 67. So I played here for 4 years and pretty excited. Pretty nice honor.
Really is a nice honor. And the Ottawa 67s, how good were they when you were there?
We won it my last year. We won the Memorial Cup, which is the championship for everything. And then every year we had good teams. So a lot of fun.
Who else made the league and had some impact? Did you play with there?
I played 4 years. Nick Boynton was here. He was on the 2010 Stanley Cup team. Yep. Mark Bell was on my team, who was a Chicago Blackhawks first rounder. Played there for a few years in Chicago. So those two would probably be more of the prominent names.
But clearly not in a Brian Campbell situation. Brian Campbell, who played, was it 17 years?
Yeah, I think something like that.
16, 17, 18 years in the National Hockey League. Yeah. How about that? How about that? Sandberg did point out the Ottawa 67s have one of the cooler logos. It's a mean, biting puck.
Yeah, that's kind of like their other one. But then their original kind of, which they still wear, they have like the barber poles. So it's kind of
I'm going to have to go with the mean, biting puck is the where they need to go.
There you go.
So, favorite memory from playing there in those days?
Well, probably winning, you know, when we won it my last year. And just kind of growing up as a kid, you kind of come in here as a 16-year-old and then you leave as unless it's a 20-year-old, so hopefully you matured a little bit in that time and tried to change to being an adult somewhat.
How old is your oldest daughter?
4.
So she's kind of old enough now to understand that daddy's getting an award tonight.
Yeah, she's getting there, yeah. She's every time my 2-year-old sees a Blackhawks logo, she says Daddy Blackhawks. So
Nice.
They get it a little bit, so it's fun.
Let me just run through this for folks who don't know. Debuted in 99, this is you. Stanley Cup debut in the 05-06 season. First season with the Hawks 08-09. Won the Cup in 09-10. The Lady Byng Trophy in 11-12. 423 consecutive games played. That is a long streak in the National Hockey League. Did you ever come close to sitting one out because you were hurting?
There's always times you feel like it, but I always felt like, I don't know, you're just hurting your team if you are. Like, if you can find a way to play, I think it's always a good thing. So,
well, there's that cliche, too, in the National Hockey League that if you sit one out, they might not ask you to go back in.
Very true, very true.
500th point scored in 2017. You had a hell of a run, pal.
Yeah, it was good. You know, I'm very proud of it. Obviously, I look back and, you know, it's good to still be a part of a great organization with the Hawks. So it's been fun, actually, this year trying to learn and figure some stuff out and watch the team play and hopefully, you know, good things still to come for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, Mark had a question about this new role for you. Carms?
Well, I am curious, Brian, the transition to retirement. I mean, I found it difficult when I retired from intramural ping pong, just adjusting to real life.
Very similar.
So I'm wondering how it's, you know, do you, is there any remorse that you feel like maybe I should have maybe done one more year?
I think you can always look back, and I know I could have done it, but it wasn't what was right for me. So I've actually felt really good. I haven't really missed it that much or at all. I've kind of enjoyed learning things in the Hawks office and then watching games and seeing hockey from a different angle and kind of seeing how you project some players and see where they're going to go. And then I've kept busy. I got my kids that I've been busy with. I've been trying to still work out and train and enjoy that. So, you know what? It was tougher in the summer. Now I feel really like it's been a smooth transition, and I'm extremely happy.
Brian, main question here. Any other TV roles on the horizon now? Because I know Soup and Sandwich could have been an Emmy contender, but I'm thinking now you'll have a little more time in the off season. Any other TV roles that could be pending that you can talk about?
Soup and the Sandwich, well, obviously it may not be called that, but it may come back. But we're not – there's no plans yet, but there's talk of it. So season two could come back, but I think we're going to have to change the name a little bit.
Soup and Sod.
Yeah, Soup and Sod. Soup and a Sodwich, maybe?
That's Soup and Sod.
I've heard Soup and a Sod Sandwich, so.
Oh, it starts to get a little weird. Who on the team speaks the most broken English now?
Well, I actually haven't been around the guys a whole lot, but.
Well, they won't let you in the dressing room anymore?
Nah, you know what?
It's me. It's Soup.
You know what? There's one thing where I will say, like, in retirement.
Yeah.
I haven't felt like I know I can go down there and I talk to the guys and I text with some of the guys, but I just don't feel very that comfortable going into that.
I just like to
stay away. So it's kind of like, I don't know, you'd probably, if you change jobs, you don't want to really go back to your thing, but it comes. I'm slowly inching myself closer to the dressing room, I guess, day by day. I take that one extra step, right?
Right.
Pull it. Don't you know who I am?
Yes.
Let me in.
You know what might be fun for the kids on a team is going and telling them about the old days in the 2000s.
Exactly.
Going all the way back to the early 2000s. All right, so about this team. This is a young team. This is a fun team. This is a team that looked pretty good the other night. It's good to see Taser get on the board. Had that really disappointing stretch for a couple of weeks, but I'm glad it's early. Anything that particularly thrills you or concerns you?
I think, you know, they're kind of going through ups and downs. I think it's, you know, some people just get all, you know, fans and everything get all turned up and excited when they're not winning there, and it's like, what's going on? And, you know, sometimes you just got to feel your way through things. There's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of parity in this league, so... it's nice that they got a power play goal the other night. I think that's going to be huge if they can get that going. They're gonna roll from there. I think it will really help the confidence of them. So, you know, I think it's been a good addition with having Sod back to kind of he can play different roles and help out. So, you know, I've liked it. I've liked the team. The team speed's been getting faster and faster the way they play. So. They got a big game tomorrow night against Minnesota and then obviously a back-to-back. So they got to keep winning those divisional games or try to win those divisional games.
And now that Brian Campbell goes around and he schmoozes not just with fans but with sponsors and with you know, folks upstairs in the luxury boxes. Matter of fact, who gets better food, the luxury suites or you guys in the dressing room?
The dressing room always has a lot of good food there. So I'd have to go with the dressing room. In the luxury suites, there's a few things that you wish you could eat every day.
Right.
But they're more of the specialty treats up there, especially when that dessert cart rolls around. That dessert cart has a good following.
Soup actually told me, I saw him at a game, and he said, if I knew about this cart, I would have retired 4 years earlier. And retirement's been good for his golf game. Well, we're really happy for you, bud. It's going to be a fun night for you and a well-deserved honor. So enjoy the heck out of it. I know you will. And Daniel Janowski says he's got a question for you in our MB Financial Bank Breakfast with a Blackhawk listener question. Is team speed going to be the ultimate key for this team to get back to the Cup?
Yeah, I think, well, I look at the league now and you see how much faster the league's getting every single year. So I think it's speed and the speed of the players, but it's all also the pace of what you play. You have to really play with a quick pace, and I think you know, Joel's done a good job of that, especially 5-on-5 with stretching the ice a little bit more and putting them back. So I think it's a huge key in today's game is the speed of play, and I think it's definitely changed a lot the last couple of years. And you see these young kids coming in now, and they're just flying around the ice. You know, I think it's probably maybe even the number one key for a team now in the NHL.
Nice job by you, Brian Campbell, as always. Thank you, and thanks for being on the MB Financial Bank Breakfast with a Blackhawk. I'll talk to Sandberg, see if she'll book you more often.
Okay, I would appreciate that. Always a pleasure, though. Thanks.
See you, buddy.
See you, Brian.
Traffic with Mary, but you need to thank somebody.
We do. Speaking of soup and sandwich, today is National Sandwich Day. We have to say a huge thanks to our friends at Potbelly. They're feeding customer smiles with a buy one, get one free pastrami sandwich offer for Potbelly Perk members. They sent over some Rex, some turkey, some roast beef, some cookies.
Delish.
So a huge thank you to Potbelly's and a happy National Sandwich Day, Carms.
It was delicious.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you.
It's 9-11 now, and as you know, with my own personal experience in my family, with a homeless family member for a period of time, and ties to the fine people out at Hesed House in Aurora and the great work that they do. It's always a pleasure to talk about great things going on here for fighting the scourge of homelessness, and that's why we're happy to invite in the studio some folks from Covenant House, starting with, and introduce yourselves if you don't mind, because I just lost my notes that I had right in front of me.
Hi, my name is Courtney.
And Courtney, what do you do?
Right now I'm a manager at Starbucks, and I used to be a resident of Covenant House.
And I love your story. We're going to get to it in just a second. And you are?
My name is Amy Sings in the Timber. I'm the Director of Development for Covenant House, Illinois.
So let's go in reverse order. Covenant House is what, for people that don't know?
Covenant House is traditionally a shelter for homeless youth. It's been in existence for a little over 45 years. However, we just opened doors here in February in Chicago. And right now we're running a daytime services center while we are looking for a site for our interim housing shelter.
We all, you know, go through this point where we have the cliched view of homelessness, right? It's usually, you know, a guy might be in his 30s or 40s, 50s, maybe older, and he's got addiction issues, and he's down on his luck, and maybe we want to walk right by, and we don't want to look, and you know, maybe we stop long enough to think how sad it is, but we don't stop to interact. We don't stop to make sure they're okay. There's a lot of things we could do better. But when you hear homeless youth, how big a problem is this?
It's a very significant problem in the city of Chicago. On any given night, the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless estimates that there's between 2,000 and 3,000 homeless youth. Youth at Covenant House is the ages of 18 to 24 years of age.
But hear that number, everybody. Yeah. 2,000 to 3,000.
Right.
A day?
On any given night. And we're talking about roughly 375 available beds for that age group.
Where is the spillover? Where do they go? What do they do?
Many of them are sleeping with our peer programs throughout the city, but there are just as many that are riding the red line, the blue line all night.
So to describe this as we're stretched would be a silly understatement. It's beyond stretched.
Absolutely.
Courtney, you seem so together and so wonderful. It's hard to believe you had a spot in your life that would have found you in this circumstance, but it can happen to anybody, right?
It definitely can. Just like you were saying, the stereotype of homelessness, I was just like everybody else. I grew up in a two-parent home. I went to a private school. I was very, very well off. And my mom passed away when I was 12. And after she passed away, everything changed. So from the age of 15 to about 23, I found myself homeless about 3 times.
Now, at 15, I would find it hard to say the wheels came off for you. There had to be people that maybe weren't keeping an eye on you or guiding you the way they should have been, or is that unfair to say that?
It's sort of unfair to say that. It's just life happens, and sometimes when you have the sole provider leave, you don't know what else to do. There's nothing else that you can really do.
What was the nature of your issues at that age, at 15?
Our house went into foreclosure. The people who were taking care of me, my guardians, they weren't as together as my mom was.
Sure.
And it wasn't their fault because my aunt, she was sick.
Yeah.
And so she couldn't work. So it wasn't her fault. She tried her best to provide a loving, safe home for us. But she couldn't handle, you know, the money.
Well, without being addled by an addiction problem, what's it like to be on the street when you're, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old and you're as bright and together as you are?
In some ways, during the times where you're out on the street, sometimes you lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
But you just try to keep it together as much as you can. And I'm not going to lie and say that I was always hopeful while I was on the streets. I wasn't. Like, not at all. Like, I didn't think I would be where I am today if you asked 15-year-old me that question.
Sure.
Like, I definitely wouldn't be here without the help of others.
Who told you about Covenant House?
I researched it.
How'd you research it?
You know, the internet, Google.
Yeah, but you didn't have the internet when you were on the street. Did you go to a library or something?
Go to the library.
Okay.
You go to school.
Got it.
Most of the time I was at school, though. Like, when I was in high school, I would stay at school, stay and do after-school activities so I wouldn't have to go back out on the streets.
Did your friends know you were homeless?
Yeah. Yep. Some of them knew. Some of them didn't. Most don't know.
Right, because you don't want to say anything, right?
You don't want to say anything. Nope.
And when you researched Covenant House and you found out about it, and Amy, I would think that's not the way this normally goes, where a kid would research you guys and then find you, probably.
You'd actually be surprised. I mean, the biggest way that we get word out about Covenant House is word of mouth. It is peer-to-peer.
Okay.
But a lot of youth have a smartphone and Google, or they go to the library, and that is how they find you.
So what was the next step? You find out about Covenant House, and what? You contact them, or how does it go from there?
Well, you contact them. You call them up and ask them if they have a bed, and then afterwards they'll say yes or no, and then you go in and they do an intake.
And you stayed there how many times?
Just once. I stayed at Covenant House of Michigan for about 2.5 years.
And was that your... You said there were three different times that you found yourself homeless. Was that the last time?
That was the last time.
So that really helped, you know, turn your life around.
Most definitely, yes.
And let's talk about your success story now. You said you're working at Starbucks. What else are you doing?
I'm in school again for graphic design and web development.
You're something else, man. I'm very happy to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me.
Two words you said, loving and safe.
Mm-hmm.
When you got to Covenant House, you felt safe again, yes?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that when I tell my story that I didn't have, like, friends or family to go mm-hmm. to, and I did. It's just that they couldn't provide what I needed.
Right.
And Covenant House was able to provide for the things that I needed. While I was at Covenant House, I just basically got, you know, my stuff together. They hook you up with different programs to help you move on to the next step. And one of the programs that Covenant House of Michigan helped me with was Michigan Rehabilitation Services. And they were able to pay for me to go to school to become a phlebotomist.
Wow.
And then I became a phlebotomist and I saved money. Even when I had my phlebotomy job, Covenant House still let me stay with them so that I could save money. And I was able to save enough money to buy my first car apartment.
I think it's a really important point to make, because the other thing we know from homelessness, if you understand that you're only a paycheck or two or a mortgage payment or two away from ending up in a similar circumstance, it's amazing. And Amy, you can speak to this about families who end up in homeless situations where the kids get up in the morning to go to school, the families go to work, but they need that transitional period, right, before they can get back on their feet. So take that without the mother and father component of it. And you guys have to take care of these kids who ought to be living the life. Between 18 and 23 or 24, they ought to be enjoying school. They ought to be enjoying figuring out how to be a grown-up. I mean, it's incredible.
Absolutely. So basically, what we are seeing more and more of are youth between the ages of 18 and 24 who are really struggling to find jobs, are really struggling to, once they are maybe able to find something that's temporary, to stay in those positions, because they are riding the rails at night.
Sure.
They are, you know, they don't have that place to go. Many of the programs that, even if they are lucky enough to be sleeping at, they don't have anywhere to go during the day to shower, to get clean clothing, to have a meal in them before they go off to work or to school in many instances.
And to make themselves presentable and awake
Absolutely.
Enough for a job interview or a school interview or whatever.
That's right.
What is the sleep out night?
Sleep Out is it is a national movement. Covenant House International started Sleep Out 7 years ago, and we will be hosting our inaugural Sleep Out here in Chicago.
Oh, I didn't know this was the first one. Well, it's a big deal.
Yes, it's a huge deal for
us. And it's coming up, it's 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yes, November 16th.
And from 7 at night till 7 in the morning, you will have the pleasure of sleeping out and raising money.
That's right.
So how does this work? How do we do it?
So sleepers will join us at about 6:30 p.m. at Covenant House's location at 30 West Chicago. We will be having a candlelight vigil, so the participants and youth will be walking the few blocks from our location to where we will actually be sleeping out at St. James Commons, 65 East Huron Street, and saying a few words. At that point, we will go into the cathedral. We will have some brief program, a light meal, and then at about 11 p.m., the participants will sleep out in the plaza, which I'm sure will be an incredibly balmy night in Chicago. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, right? We called Tom Skilling. He said no guarantees.
Yeah.
So you hope it's weather pleasant, but it's the whole point is to give you the experience, at least sort of give you the experience of what these folks go through.
Right. What we try to say is we are absolutely not trying to recreate homelessness. We couldn't possibly do that, but we are asking individuals to give up one night of their comfort in solidarity with homeless youth to show them that they're with them and that they are seen.
This is going on in 19 different cities. How does the money get raised?
So it's a peer-to-peer type of events, and just like endurance events, somebody sponsors you to run the marathon or a 5K or something along those lines. Individuals who are sleeping out are requesting that gifts be made in support of their sleep out efforts, and those gifts in turn, of course, support Covenant House.
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity, and again, as you said, Steve, it's not to enjoy the balmy weather. I know we make a joke, but just, you know, you have to experience it and see it firsthand. And, you know, congratulations to you for your success.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Courtney, there's no stopping you.
Nope. Not
now,
at
the
all.
Friends you made on the street, I'm sure you made friends on the street and over those periods of time. Are they doing as well as you?
They're doing awesome. I got married. Some of my other friends from Covenant House, they're married. They have kids. And that was just 3 years ago that we were at Covenant House.
About that.
So imagine what we did within those 3 years. A lot of us are back in school. A lot of us have stable jobs. And now that I'm in such a great position, now I'm trying to give back so that other homeless youth don't have to go through what
Good
I went through.
Good for you. And that's the beauty of Covenant House, too. It's not just saving lives physically. It's saving emotional lives as well.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Preach it. Get out there and tell some more people. Great to see you guys. And Amy, the website for this is what?
CovenantHouseIL.org.
CovenantHouseIL.org. You can help out all year long, but you'll have a chance to sleep out and raise some money. And if you can't do it or you like to sleep in your own bed, we're not going to hold that against you. Just write a fat check or pull out your credit card. CovenantHouseIL.org. Nice to meet both of you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Senator Mark Kirk. We'll talk about inspiration. He'll join us in just a second as well on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
925, Senator Mark Kirk. What's he been up to since he left the Senate? Well, aside from face-palming every time the president speaks, I'm sure he's been as busy as he's ever been, and he is going to do the hustle up to Hancock. Isn't that what they call it, the hustle up to Hancock?
Hustle up to Hancock. Yeah, he's done this for the past couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, but he's got a little more of work to put in than the rest of us because of the physical limitations he has as he continues recovery from that massive stroke of a few years ago. Senator, nice to reconnect. How are you this morning?
Steve-O, thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you being on. You know, a lot of people who don't know you've done this for the past few years, I'm sure are wondering how you do it. How do you do it?
You just go crazy. And for us, we'll be joining about 20 of my battle buddies, some veterans, and Jackson Cunningham, my personal hero, who is now 14 years old and had a stroke at age 11. And Jackson will do all 103 stories in about 40 minutes.
Is that right?
And he will just blow me away because he's so good at the stair climbing.
Now,
for me, it's an important thing to note. The Shirley Ryan Ability Lab is now the best rehab hospital in America. We're going to be raising money with either the cool thing about this walk, the climb up the Willis Tower, is how many local firemen come in their turnout clothes and will do all 103 in their heavy jackets and boots.
Oh, in full gear.
They do it in full gear, yeah.
Wow, very impressive. Well, how are you feeling? You sound great.
Great, great. Right now I'm very focused on one of my long-term projects, keeping the Iranians on their toes. I was up at in New York at the General Assembly for the United Nations, pointing out their terrible record on human rights, especially pointing out how many gay Iranians have died just for being of a different orientation.
Right.
Just to point out the terrible human rights record of this terrorist nation.
Yeah, it is completely outrageous. Do you miss the Senate at all, or are you enjoying the break?
I am very much enjoying the break. I've been focused on a lot of high-tech stuff and focused on cyber security, especially catching bad guys online. We've been focused on a new technology that relates to the Onion Router Tor. Make sure that it cannot be used as much by ISIS and their affiliates.
Yeah, based on what happened in New York the other day, and from your days in the military, and obviously all the work you did as a senator, we know this guy was a homegrown lunatic. I continue to fall back on my sermon and rant, which is we've got to take mental health care as seriously as we do every other medical condition that we rightfully raise money for. And politics has to get behind the mental health fight as well, because I don't know how you stop these guys unless you get them young.
You stop them by sending them off to Gitmo and forgetting the key.
Well, that's column B. I'm hoping to stop them before they get there. But at any rate, I always appreciate your time. I know you're going to kill it when you get to hustle up the Hancock, and I hope I see you in person sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be at the Willis Tower because it's a little...
Oh, I keep calling it the Hancock. Yeah, because that's the one I think of. Yeah, but yeah, the Hancock's not tall enough for you. You're hustling up the Willis.
Up the Willis, yeah. Certainly 103 is where the reward comes.
Have you seen that that ledge you walk out on with the glass
door? Ledge, you know, is something for everybody to know about. And when you've got folks visiting you, bring them to the ledge where you can look down through your toes and see 103 stories of Chicago beneath you.
How about that?
One of the only places on Earth where you can do that.
How about that? Hey, our friend Pat Brady says hi as well.
He needs help.
You're not wrong. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your time, and I'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Take care, Steve.
All the best. And you can hustle up the Willis, too. That's not the phrase. Will you give me the website for it so we can give him a proper plug at some point?
I will.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get you the big story in just a second. Andrea is live out at the Apple Store next, where people are lining up to hand out $1,000 for a new phone. Stand by for that. Mark is in for Dave Innit with the Sports 2 on 720 WGN. Great club dance music, isn't it? Israel Adonijay is here. It's great to see you. You look fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you being here. Adam Cummins is here, owner of Blaze. We got some great smelling pizza in the studio and a bunch of things to talk about. But Israel, let's catch up with you for a second. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Good. Just busy working.
You just always keep giving back. And I'm not just saying that because you could kill me with your bare hands. You've always been a very decent guy.
Yeah, I truly feel that, you know, to give and to share is a part of what the journey is about. So just trying to do that within the means I have, and thankful that a lot of people have been a part of the journey with me, and it's fun.
A lot of it come out of the foundation work?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as I've matured, ultimately the work that you do, you want to serve within that. And, you know, that's, I think, the beauty of in what we do every day, being able to work with the foundation to hopefully impact and touch some lives. It's been excellent.
We'll ask you about the Bears in a second, but Adam Cummins is here. Adam's owner of the Blaze. And how are things with you?
Things are great. Thank
Killing
you for having
it there?
Me, sir. Oh, we're doing fantastic.
Yeah?
And really happy to be able to partner with this on his journey.
Is he so hard to work with, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's very never happy.
Yeah. Very demanding, never
tackling
smiles.
People in the office.
What's your piece of this from the Blaze standpoint?
We're going to be donating some proceeds back to his charity for his venture with getting kids to be able to learn how to code.
Yeah. Is it the IF?
IF code. The IF charities. IF charities.
I had to over-tech it. I'm looking at IF and I'm thinking, well, it's probably a coding thing. 0110 IF. No, it's a word, Steve. It's IF. The IF code project, yeah. If I could be a coder.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And that was the premise. You know, we know there's going to be 1.5 million jobs in the next 3 years in coding and technology. And if today we could position those kids in our community to understand and be ready for those jobs, imagine what, you know, our future could look like. So if charities, if code was born.
This was a big focus of the Obama summit, too, just this weekend, where they were talking about coding and getting the younger generation involved, which now, I mean, we talked about this the other day, your granddaughter, my goddaughter, they go right to the phone,
yeah.
They hit the button, nobody ever taught them, they swipe, they know how to go right to their apps.
Abigail Grace, my she's not even 2 years old. You hand her the phone, she starts flipping through looking at pictures.
Right.
It's incredible.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy. Blaze Pizza, how many cities now?
We're all across the country right now, about 225 units.
It's not working out.
No, terrible. We're developing Chicago. We have 12 locations here, and we got South Florida. We're even at Disney World.
Chef-driven recipes.
Correct.
Fast casual.
Get your pizza in about 3 minutes, 180 seconds, yeah, many ingredients as you want. Yeah.
And I've been vegan for the last 3 months, and they have an amazing vegan pizza.
Yeah.
Wow. What caused you to go vegan 3 months ago?
You know what? It was really kind of like a challenge, you know, to like everybody said, oh, you're working out hard. You're such a big guy. You have to have animal protein. So I said 30 days and I did 30. Then I went to 60 and now on month 4, no milk, no dairy, no animal protein.
Wow. How do you feel?
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Feel really good.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So like more energy or what?
Yeah. My runs, my sprints have been fantastic. Great energy.
I remember running.
Yeah.
I hired a guy to run for me.
I remember running. Yeah. Let's run tomorrow. You going to run with me?
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
You can watch him run, Steve. That would be cool for you.
Have you guys tried the pizza?
Awesome.
You can have some Blaze Pizza while we're talking. Say, how is he?
Is he good to see you? Former Bull, by the way, John Staley, also a vegan, swears by it, says his life has changed. He hasn't aged a bit since he stopped playing. I want to ask you about Akeem Hicks.
Yeah.
He's a man. Blowing people up.
He's a man amongst men.
He's so likable, too. Yeah. He's kind of in the Izzy mold there.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's fantastic. I mean, what he's brought. And, you know, they hit the nail on the head. They got that one right with Akeem. He's a great leader. His energy, he's one of those character guys that you want as far as leading a team. And then he just goes out and works every Sunday and performs. I mean, wow, what he's doing, it's impressive.
And to see this Bears defense, because what's more trademark in the National Football League than Bears defense playing the way they're playing this year, it gives you some hope. And frankly, as Bears fans, we need a little hope.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, really they've played well all year. And it's watching through this first part of the season, it's kind of reminiscent of some of the years we had. The defense has been exceptional. You look at the last few games, the takeaways, the plays that they've made, and really defensively carrying the team. And there were some years there where we just needed some support, And the outcomes in some of those games would have been really different. So it's great to see the defense playing so well. And
you give Trubisky a little time to grow.
Oh, exactly.
It's a lot of positives.
I just want to jump back to you two as a person. I think you really lead the way in so many athletes today, not only on the field or when you stop playing or whatnot, but just continue with foundations and giving back to the community. And I know especially in Chicago, that's so important to our students and our community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, those of us that are fortunate to play sports in the city, I know it's kind of been split whether you're a role model, what you should do. Well, the truth is you are. You know, people, kids especially, look up to you. And the good things you do, they take note. The negative things you do, they take note. And you've seen it. You see kids doing, especially back in the day, you'd see young kids doing the throat slash and certain things. They watch.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. You're a modest guy, and I respect that about you, but not everybody takes the path you've taken, and I think you ought to pat yourself on the back for that because there's folks that have had shorter runs than you, longer runs than you, less money than you, more money than you, who don't take this route. I think giving back is the key. Yeah, those of us who have been blessed, I think that's more than just a part of your character. I think it's a responsibility.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think it is a part of responsibility. And you talk about how do you make a community better. Well, it's the people that are fortunate to have more, to achieve platforms like the professional National Football League, you know, by strengthening or trying to strengthen the members of the community that need that support. That's how we all get better, and I feel that's just that's all we're trying to do, play our role.
We're going to fast run out of time here, and I don't want to do that without talking about the IF. It's not IF, it's IF. The IF Code Project. So where do the kids that are involved, where do they come from?
Yeah, so we're going to get kids from the south side of the city, and, yep. And long-term the vision is we'll get kids from all over the city, really kids that may not see technology as a path for their future.
Sure.
Economically or just to support themselves.
Yeah.
And so it starts November 6th to 12th. You can go to any Blaze Pizza, have a pizza party. You're going to be supporting these kids in their future. And I'm going to be throwing two pizza parties, Streeterville on the 6th. You can come in 11 o'clock. We're having pizza. We're partying. And then on the 8th, 6 p.m. At Highland Park.
At Highland Park. Yes.
And we're having another pizza party. You can do it on your own, or you can come join me the 6th and the 8th.
But you're recommending the vegan.
I'm recommending the vegan pizza. Right. That is true. Right. And it is delicious.
A pizza party with you, that's the greatest day ever. Yeah. My God, right?
Honestly, though,
I'm going to make you a pizza.
Hold on a second. But honestly, a pizza party with you, don't you eat it all? I mean, you're not giving up any.
A pizza party with me, you get one slice.
Right. It's worth it.
And Adam, what do you want people to know about how they can help? Just get into the Blaze and enjoy yourself.
Come into Blaze, buy some pizza, and we're donating 20% of the proceeds that we earn over that course of that period for anybody who comes in and mentions IF. And
that's
also
a big number.
You can come in and donate yourself also.
And I got to say also thank you just to our sponsors. We've had like Bank of America stepped up in a major way, Accelerated Growth Advisors, you know, and just, you know, corporations that have stepped in and said, hey, we're going to support. We think it's important to get these kids this skill set. So we're just thankful, and we're looking forward to doing this for a lot of years. And one day that kid saying, yeah, I'm a big CTO at a tech company here in our community. And that's
chief technology officer.
Not a CITO, Steve. A CITO.
It's crushing me. And you know what? I deserve it. Our website for the foundation?
IfCharities.org.
IfCharities.org. And website for the Blaze?
BlazePizza.com.
Nice to see both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys are always welcome here. Thanks for the pizza. Sure. Bill and Wendy coming up 720 WGN.